And we do indeed ask God to hear us when we call and to strengthen us even as he sends us out to go. Seems kind of fitting that as we arrive at this last Sunday of the church year, before we begin our focus and our study on all the stories of Jesus and him coming into this world, we think of him leaving this world and his last instructions to us, his instructions for us to be ready and to share and to go make disciples. That's what our focus has been. And we've drawn this from the reading in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And you've been so gracious to read it along with me. Maybe we'll do it just one more this third week. Do it one more time if you would. But set Christ apart as Lord in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks about the hope you possess. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. That's our text that we're going to do, as well as the gospel reading. You know, St. Francis of Assisi, many of us know him at the very least by the statues in people's lawns with the little birds, right? You know, he's sort of the saint of animals and so forth. He had a message to share, and here's how he put it. Preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. Now, we're not entirely sure that St. Francis said that. I think it may be a paraphrase, because here's something he actually did say. See if this you can understand where that paraphrase came from. It is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is also our preaching. So your walk matters as much as your talk, is what St. Francis was saying. He also had this to say, and this we do know that these words are his and have been written down on his behalf. As for me, I desire this privilege from the Lord, that never may I have any privilege from man, except to do reverence to all, and to convert the world by my obedience to the holy rule, by example, rather than by word. So you can see where someone might have paraphrased and taken the other one to sort of combine those two together. But for St. Francis and for Jesus, and I hope for all of us, we understand that this idea of how we live is as big an impact as the words that we use. The reason we've chosen the scripture that you read, when it talked about this idea, always be ready to give an answer for those who ask you about the hope that you have, is because when people see how you live in hope in this world that is so divided, so political, so really full of hate and doubt and skepticism and cynicism and everything else, then when they see us living differently and they ask why, we'll be ready to give an answer. That's really what St. Francis was saying. And it's also someone who I think did this very beautifully and in a wonderful and impactful way. This guy. Right? You know, if you ever stop and think about it, the reason it's called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is because he was trying, as a Presbyterian minister, to live out love your neighbor as yourself. He was trying to share the love of God and tell everyone, you are loved by God. And that's his message to children, to adults. If you've ever watched the show, I hope it brings fond memories back for you. But if you need a reminder of the power of what that love, what that acceptance, that empathy can do, I highly recommend you get Jerry's 2 thumbs up for the new movie that's out, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. It is about Mr. Rogers, but more so it's about how his love and empathy helps restore a man and his family from a lot of brokenness and a lot of pain. And that is what Christian love and kindness always do. It's why we're ready to give that answer. It's why we're ready not only to give that answer, but remember the last part of it was with gentleness and with respect. This is never a matter of us ever shoving anything down someone's throats. When Jesus sends you and I out to go and make disciples of all nations, when we're talking about, well, you know, always be ready to give an answer, well, what kind of answer can I give? How do I do it? And besides the love and the kindness that someone like Mr. Rogers might show as an example for us, listening to others and so forth, I want to spend the rest of today's message answering that question. How do you and I share the gospel? How do we tell the story in a way or connect and explain it in a way that can be meaningful to people? So I'm going to give you a couple of illustrations about how to do that. I'm going to go through these in more depth today in my Bible class. So if you want to soak these in a little bit more and even practice them a bit, you're welcome to come and be a part of that. But the first one is called Do Versus Done. If someone's trying to ask you, well, you know, what's the big deal about your faith? What's the big deal about Christianity? I don't even know if I really understand it. You might say something like this. If you look at every other religion in the world, they all give you a list of things you're supposed to do in order to be right with God. Do this and you'll be right with God. Do that. Every religion has its list. Christianity says you can never do enough. None of us can do enough to be right with God. But Jesus, by his perfect life and his death on the cross, has done it all for us. Christianity can be summed up with the one word, D-O-N-E. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished. The price is paid. And I offer back to you that gift of righteousness, that restored life." So other religions tell you what you do need to do. Christianity says what has been done for you by Jesus. One way we could explain the gospel. Maybe you want to do it by use of a Bible verse, and there are plenty you could choose from. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 might be one, but I thought this one was probably about the simplest. This is the one that a lot of us have memorized, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's kind of like the Christian version of the Pledge of Allegiance. I think a lot of us have that one memorized, right? So what you could say when you're explaining is, you know, there's this beautiful verse in the Bible, and that God loved the world. He so loved the world, he so loved you, and he loved me. And that love motivated him to give his very best gift to the world, his Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, so motivated by love, gave his life on the cross, that if we believe in him, we have that life, and we have that promise of God that we will live forever. So it's a great motivator that God offers. It was a great gift that he gave in his Son, Jesus Christ, and what a great opportunity we have to believe in him and have eternal life. You might use a Bible verse like that to do it. This one may be a little hard to picture, and this is why I offer to draw the picture out for you in Bible class today if you want to come. But here's a way you might do this. If you can imagine the cross that's there right now as a bridge, you can imagine that being gone from the start of the illustration. I'm not really good at how to do animations on these slides. But imagine that there's no cross there. God had originally intended for he and for all humans to be in a close, loving relationship together. But sin separated us and created this chasm, this gap between humanity and God himself. And we know that gap is there. There's this sense inside of us that there's something we have to do to try to get back to God. So people try to do good deeds, and they try to be kind, and they maybe attend religious services, and all of those things are good in and of themselves, but God's word tells us that they all fall short, that all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and we can never get back to God on our own. But God, in his love, chose to build a bridge, and there's where you could see the cross. Imagine it now showing up. The bridge being the cross of Jesus, Jesus coming into our world, and Jesus bearing our sins, and by his death on the cross and his resurrection, being the bridge, the connection back for us to God. That's why Jesus said, "I'm the way to the Father. No one can come but through me." So when you hear that, when you understand that, where do you see yourself? Still apart from God, or, you know, now connected and back close to God would be a way to wrap up the telling of that story. If you wanted to add a Bible verse in there, an easy one is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And I mention it because it's just beyond where our reading was in today's message. Christ died for sin once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you back to God. So you can, you know, kind of see how that might be a connecting point. A newer one that perhaps not too many people have heard of is called the Three Circles Illustration. And this may be very hard to see on the slides and why I offer again during Bible class to try to explain this. But you might start by, you know, drawing this on a napkin, drawing this on a piece of paper in a restaurant, you know, whatever would work for you to try to help someone visually understand. And the way of explaining the gospel through the three circles goes something like this. We in this world experience a lot of brokenness, sickness, sin, selfishness, even death. And you may wonder, why is the world so broken? Why is it so messed up? And the truth of that is that it's not how God designed it. God designed this world to be perfect, beautiful. Love was his gift and offer to us, and humanity lived in a love relationship with God. But for reasons that are kind of hard to understand, humanity rejected God and that love relationship, and that's why the world we have today is so full of that brokenness that we already looked at. But God was so full of love that he wasn't going to let it stay broken. And so he initiated a rescue mission. He sent his son Jesus, and in this circle you can see one arrow is coming down. Jesus came down to be like us in our flesh, experiencing the same temptations and difficulties that we had. He gave his life as a sacrifice on a cross in the middle of the circle there. And then he rose again from the dead to show that all of our enemies, all of our brokenness, the enemy of sin and of death itself, have all been conquered over by God. And that's why we call him our king. And then we draw the crown there on the top of that. And because that has been offered to us, now we have this opportunity. You can see the three circles there down together. I know this may be kind of difficult to see at a distance, but we now see the pattern, the path that God has created for us. Out of the brokenness, because of what he's done, he offers us the chance to say, I want that love relationship with God. And so we can return, or the Bible uses the word repent, which is a change of heart. I don't want just my own selfish way. I want God's way. I want his restoration. Once we turn back to him, when we pray like that, then we are now restored. And you can see the person with the little, you know, glowing points around them. And that restored person now is turning to and enjoying that love relationship with God. And God asks us in love, we who have been loved by him, to now join his mission. And that's why you see the dotted line across the top, to now go back towards people in this broken world and share with them the same love and the same hope that we ourselves have received. So that is kind of a maybe a little more complicated way, but I hope it can also explain a little bit about how and why we do what we do as Christians, living out and sharing this gospel news. We go back to that broken world. That's what 1 Peter was trying to tell us, and I pray we can do as we have our conversations with family and friends here over Thanksgiving week and into Christmas and all the holidays, that we would set Christ apart as our Lord. We know we've been restored. We know what a gift we have because of what a price has been paid for us. And as we have him as Lord in our hearts, honoring him and honoring his call out to us, then we're ready. We are ready at all times if someone ever asks us. We're ready to show love and kindness and do it with gentleness and respect. And we are ready to give an answer, whether it's sharing a Bible verse or it's doing a do versus done or walking with someone through one of these other illustrations, the bridge or the three circles. We give an answer about the hope that we have. And we ask God to help us do that with gentleness and respect and live to his glory. Amen. I invite you now to glorify God along with me.